this right here, Alex, just because I need to remember it.
Okay.
I'll put it right there.
Welcome everyone to Sure Foundation Baptist Church. Let's turn to song number 58. Song number 58. Take our seats and turn to song number 58. He the pearly gates will open on that first. Love so great. Just the same through tests of time. He, the pearly gates will open so that I may enter in. For he purchased my redemption and forgave me all my sin. Like a dove when hunted, frighted, as a wounded fawn was I. Broken-hearted, yet he healed me. He will heed the sinner's cry. He, the pearly gates will open so that I may enter in. For he purchased my redemption and forgave me all my sin. Verse 3. Love divine, so great and wondrous,
All my sins he then forgave. I will sing his praise forever, for his blood, his power to save. He the pearly gates will open, so that I may enter in. For he purchased my redemption, and forgave me all my sin. Verse 4. In life's eventide at twilight, at his door I'll knock and wait. By the precious love of Jesus, I shall enter heaven's gate. He the pearly gates will open, so that I may enter in. For he purchased my redemption, and forgave me all my sin. Amen. Remy, would you open us in a word of prayer?
Dear Father God, thank you so much for this wonderful day. Thank you so much for what you do for us. I pray to be with Pastor and the sermon tonight, and I pray we all pay attention and sing out to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Song number 125. Song number 125. Song number 125 on the first.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath is covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
On the last,
when he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
All right, at this time, we will have some announcements.
All right, good afternoon. Welcome to Sure Foundation Baptist Church. Let's take our bulletins and go through them. If you need a bulletin, would you raise your hand? One of the ushers will bring you a bulletin. Anybody need one? All right, besides Paul? Paul needs five. All right, on our front cover, we have our verse of the week. It says, though the beginning, thy beginning was small, yet thy latter end should greatly increase. Job chapter 8. Verse number 7. Of course, we had our grand opening last weekend. It went really well, and even though a lot of people have been sick, we still had a good showing. I think we had 106 on Friday night, 109 on Sunday morning, and 91 Sunday evening. We had some visitors from out of town. We had a lot of visitors, just first-time visitors. Three first-time visitors got saved over the weekend, and someone needs to shut their cell phone off right now. No, I'm just kidding. All right, our service times at Sure Foundation Baptist Church. Sunday morning service is 10:30 a.m. Sunday evening service is 3:30 p.m. Thursday Bible study is at 6:30 p.m. We have our soul winning times. They're listed below. And wanted to announce that Brother Sean Conlon is going to be leading some extra soul winning times. I got kind of like a little fuzz crackle thing going on with this mic. Is there any way you can fix that? Sean Conlon is leading some extra soul winning times, and he's already started. We did our first one, what was it, Tuesday? And we had some good contacts. We didn't have any salvations. Was there anybody saved today in the soul winning? Anybody know? Did anybody go soul winning today? No saved. Okay. And well, we had 18 saved over the weekend, so praise God for that. We had one saved on Friday. I think we had 10 saved on Saturday and 7 saved on Sunday, so 18 for the weekend. And those are the regular soul winning times. I'll be putting some new times in. If I can squeeze them in there, I'll probably have to make them microscopic. You'll have to read it with one of those magnifying glasses or something. But anyway, you get the regional soul winning times. And let's see, the praise report. You can look and see that. We had 3 baptisms also on Sunday, so that was awesome. And let's see, what else we got for announcements here? I'll be preaching in Spokane next Sunday. Not this Sunday, but next Sunday. And that will be in Spokane, so I'll be preaching to our church plant up there. And then August 21st, we have a soul winning marathon in Longview, Washington. That'll be on Saturday. I'm guessing we'll probably meet there about 11 o'clock or something like that, maybe 10:30. Sean, did you have a start time you wanted for Longview?
Probably 10:30.
Okay. So that means for the rest of our church, 11:30. So just plan on that. I'm just teasing. All right, so kind of. That's like passive-aggressive. Anyway. Yeah, let's just do it at 11. Yeah. That'll be 11:45. No, I'm just joking. Remember, people, it takes 45 minutes or about 40 minutes the way I drive to get to Longview from here. So anyway, we'll be hitting some areas up there, and we always are fruitful when we go there. So we'll try to hit some places we haven't hit before, some really good spots up there. We just need to hit the whole town at some point. August 24th, I'm going to have a meeting for anybody that's in the music program. That's August 24th. At 6 p.m. So that is a Tuesday. All right. I know that we have the Spanish night. Does that conflict with the Spanish night?
We can work
with it. Okay.
I think that's what
it is. No, I think it is. Okay. So August 24th, 6 p.m. here. And we're going to just cover over. We're trying to, like, vamp it up and make it better. Not that it's bad. It just needs, we just can fine-tune some things. And there's some new people that want to join in the band and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, we're just going to go over some things that we want to change, some leadership things that we want to apply to it. And so that's 6 p.m. August 24th. If you can be here, and if you're in the music program, I'd really appreciate it if you were here. Maybe I'll buy you a coffee or something, maybe buy you some dinner, you know, we'll have a good time. All right. And then what else do we have that's coming up that's not in the bulletin? I'm thinking about something. I can't remember what it is. All right, September 2nd, I'll be preaching in Cincinnati, Ohio at the Fundamentalist Conference with Pastor Jimenez, Pastor Reyes, and Deacon Oliver Gonzalez. I'll be preaching Thursday, but I'll be back for the Sunday services that weekend. September 21st, we're having a homeschool field trip to Sky Zone, and that will start at 9:40 for a 2-hour jump time in Vancouver, and that details, any other details you need to see Miss Rachel Woods for that, if we're not all under quarantine and wearing masks by the government, okay? I think they're trying to force everybody to wear masks again, something like that. So anyway, we'll see what happens over my dead body. No, I'm just joking. But that's going on right now, so it is kind of a big thing in the news, and I think CJ was just telling me that New York has passed like something where you can't go in. It's kind of like Manila where you can't go anywhere unless you have a mask on or something. I don't know. I'm just hearing about this tonight. I just kind of try not to pay attention to stuff like that because it just makes me mad. So October 3rd, I'll be preaching at Pure Words Baptist Church. And then I'll be preaching at the Fire Breathing Baptist Fellowship that same week, which is on Wednesday. So I'll be in Texas. So I'll do the Texas Tornado down there. And it's a great church down there. If you got a chance to visit Pure Words or Steadfast, both great churches run by Pastor Shelley. And let's see, anything else? I know, I just want to announce this. It's not on the bulletin, but Pastor Jimenez is going to be preaching here on November 7th. Pastor Jimenez will be preaching here. So it'll be on a, he's going to be preaching on a Sunday. So we actually get him for a Sunday. So that's pretty cool. And so he's going to bring his family up here. It'll be a good time. I think that's going to, we're going to try to plan our pumpkin thing that we do every year. We'll try to plan, whatever it's called. I'm sorry. we're going to try to plan it around that. So we'll see if maybe we can do that on Saturday. So, which would be the 6th of November. All right. And everybody knows all the rest of this info in here. Anybody got a birthday this week that's here? Nope. All right. Sorry about your luck. Huh? Oh, Eileen's back. Hi, Eileen. You want to come up here? Sing happy birthday with me? I knew she would do that. So let's sing happy birthday to Eileen. I'm sorry I forgot that she wasn't here on Sunday. All right. Let's sing happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. All right. She's already won. I can't believe it. She's just growing so fast. Anyway, I think that's all we got for announcements. Oh, no, that's not. I'm sorry. So anybody that has a key to the old building, this is in hieroglyphics, but old building keys go in here. So at the end of the service, would you please come up and put your spare keys from the old building in here? I got to turn those in. And if there's anybody that's available to patch some holes, we drilled holes in some of the rooms there, and he was wondering if we could patch those up and put a little touch-up paint on them. I left some rollers and things like that at the building. And then the paint, the touch-up paint that matches what's already there should be downstairs in the closet across from the men's, where the men's room was. If there's anybody that is available to do that, I'd really appreciate it. There's no fixing the soundboard that was in the mother baby room. It's toast, so we might end up having to pay for that. But other than that, we came out pretty good. I appreciate everybody for helping clean that up and stuff. And I got a funny story to tell you real quick before I move on here. So I had to go pick up that piano yesterday. Me with my wife. No, I had two other guys, that Ian guy that was like the helper for our landlord, he's like 70 years old or something. So it's really heavy, but the call he got was from one of the ladies that lived upstairs. She's lived there for 15 years or so. You probably know her if you saw her. But anyway, she called the landlord and she goes, I'm not one to complain, but for the last three nights, I haven't been able to get any sleep because the people rolled that piano to the other side. And it's just like, you know, that's like a natural amphitheater in there. And there was people playing the piano till 3 o'clock in the morning for the last three nights. And apparently they added to the band. They had a guitar player. And then I think CJ went down there with some paint drum things. No, I'm just kidding. It was somebody had those 5 gallon paint buckets that people play, like get money for or whatever. Anyway, so every night they added to the band, and so she was just asking if we could help her out and get rid of that piano. But the funny thing is that we got it in there. Like we just kind of leveraged it in there, and I strapped it down with straps. And when I got to the dump, I just realized that there's no way I was getting that out by myself. So I ended up having to get like one of those excavator things to grab it and pull it out. So anyway, my day yesterday was pretty interesting, but I thought I'd tell you about that story. I thought it was funny. So anyway, let's sing another song and we'll receive the offering.
All right. Song number 335. Song number 335. All right, song number 335 on the furs. It may be in the valley where countless dangers hide. It may be in the sunshine that I in peace abide. But this one thing I know, if it be dark or fair, if Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. 'Tis heaven to me, where'er I may be, if he is there. I count it a privilege here, his cross to bear. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go I must carry the blessed word of life across the burning deserts to those in sinful strife. And though it be my lot to bear my colors there, if Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. 'Tis heaven to me, where'er I may be, if he is there. I count it a privilege here, his cross to bear. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. Verse 3. But if it be my portion to bear my cross at home, while others bear their burdens beyond the billow's foam, I'll prove my faith in him, confess his judgments fair, and if he stays with me, I'll go anywhere. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. 'Tis heaven to me, where'er I may be, if he is there. I count it a privilege here, his cross to bear. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. Verse 4. It is not mine to question the judgments of my Lord. It is but mine to follow the leadings of his word. But if to go or stay, or whether here or there, I'll be with my Savior content anywhere. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. 'Tis heaven to me, where'er I may be, if he is there. I count it a privilege here, his cross to bear. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere.
Amen. At this time, we will take the offering. Brother Justin, would you bless the offering?
Heavenly Father, I love you, God. I thank you for this church, Lord. May we feel the pastor with the Holy Ghost, God. Help the priest bold. Help us to pay attention tonight, God. I pray to bless this offering. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for the privilege and honor to come to you in prayer in Jesus' name. And we just want to ask, first of all, for prayer for the mothers that are pregnant in this room, Miss Rachel Woods, Miss Crystal Acorda, and, of course, Stephanie Sawyer, and Miss Candace, and Kylie. And, Lord, we ask that you just bless them in their pregnancies and help them to have safe and healthy births, and that they would be... there'd be no issues or anything. Everything would be healthy and good. And Lord, we also ask for Miss Alejandra's brother, Noe, who was diagnosed with COVID pneumonia. Lord, we just ask that you would help him, and also Miss Alejandra's mom, Petra, who also tested positive for COVID. And I know that her brother's really sick, Lord, and I just pray that you would help him and get the medicine that he needs to get better. And also we pray for Brother Blake. Tomorrow's his bid is for work, and it's really weighing on his heart. I pray that you just, whatever the answer is, on what shift he gets, I just pray that that you would just help him to take it either way. And Lord, we're just asking, it might not be a miracle, but just a special prayer for Brother Blake. It's really important to him, and just pray for him and his family right now. So they're been going through a hard time. And also for the Sawyer family, they've been sick. Lord, I just pray that you would help their little ones to get better soon. And for Mrs. Holmes, Miss Sarah, Lord, we just pray that you would watch over her as they're transitioning her mom from hospice care to their home, so she can go be with the Lord peacefully. And Lord, we just ask that you would just comfort their hearts and help her with her health. And also for Brother Steve, he's looking for new house up in a little further up north here, Lord, and we just ask that you would help him get the home that he needs to move into. For Miss Leilani, prayer for her living situation that she's currently in. And also for the Harrington family, we pray for Brother Sean and his family, as his grandma recently passed away Sunday. Let's pray, Lord, that you bless and comfort their family as they go through this hard time. And Lord, that we thank you that she was saved. And also for Miss Sarah Miller, we pray that you'd help her to land the job that she's trying to get. And let's pray that you'd help her and Matthew, and that the job would be something that would be good for them. So also, Lord, we pray for Ryland, for prayer for his dad's infection. And his dad's had this infection. He's supposed to have surgery. Lord, I pray that you'd help him to get better so he could get the stones removed that need to be removed. And for Miss Lana, we pray for her friend Max, her friend mom, Max's mom, the little boy that was here, got saved on Friday night. Let's pray for his mother, for good test results, and for Miss Jessica also, and for Bowie's test results to come back, all with good news, Lord. And we pray for all those that are sick in our church family, Lord, and there's just been so many, and just pray for them to get better, and Lord, to have the sickness pass on from our church and from everybody. Lord, pray that you would just heal those people that are sick out there. And Lord, also, I just want to praise you for Mary recovering and being back to her baseline breathing, Lord. And also, we praise you for Miss Sierra getting the job promotion at her work. And Lord, there's many unspokens here. Miss Brittany, Nia, Miss Sherry, Miss Sarah, Chantel, Ethan, Crystal, Kylie, Stephen, Temo, Matt Marshall, Annie, Matt K, and Ramon, two unspokens, Joshua, an unspoken. And Lord, you know the needs there, and there's many more on that list. It's just pray that you would just bless all the needs of our church family, Lord. And we know that you always answer our prayers, Lord. And we just want to thank you for our church over in England, and our church up in Canada, and in Hawaii, and in Spokane, and all those leaders. Pray that you'd watch over them and bless them, and just help them to grow spiritually, and help protect the leaders and watch over our flock, Lord, and in your name we pray. Amen.
All right, go ahead and open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians 9, if you don't have a Bible, raise your hand, and one of the ushers will bring you one. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. First Corinthians 9, the Bible reads, "Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. Mine answer to them that do examine me is this: Have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? Or I only and Barnabas, have not we power to forbear working? Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard, and eateth not the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock, and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, Thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, it is a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things. If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so had the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be so done unto me, for it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily that, when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run, that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Brother Justin, will you pray for us?
Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, let's look at verse number 1. It says, Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for this wonderful chapter in the Bible. Lord, I pray that you'd help me to teach it in spirit and in truth. Lord, that you'd fill me with your spirit. Lord, that I wouldn't say anything that I ought not to say.
And I pray, Lord, that the people would receive the word of the Lord tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, this chapter, a lot of it's talking about, the Apostle Paul's talking about how it's all right to pay ministers of the Lord. And you get a lot of flack. There's a big stigma with pastors and with religious leaders and things, how, you know, they just want to fleece the flock, and, you know, pastors shouldn't be paid. I'm sure you've heard that before, haven't you? Pastors shouldn't be paid. It's like, you know, well, do you get paid for the job you do? You know, I mean, it's just strange to me that people think that a pastor is just supposed to work for free. And that's what the Apostle Paul is basically saying here. Now, he's not a pastor, but he is a full-time worker, right? He's a full-time worker for the Lord, and he's also has an office as an apostle. Now, there's no more apostles today because they died out after that first century, because to be an apostle, you had to have seen the risen Christ. You had to have ministered with him. He had to have taught you. And so Paul was the last apostle chosen by the Lord out of due time. That's what the Bible says. But he's basically saying, you know, am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have not I seen the Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? You know, obviously Paul got these people saved. He's the one that started the church there, right? And so it says, if I be not an apostle unto others, yea, doubtless I am to you. Like, hey, other people, because like later on in the book, you'll see where people are doubting his apostleship and whether he really is an apostle or whether he really does have authority. But he's saying, yet doubtless I am to you. You know that I'm the one that got you saved. You know the one, I'm the one that started this church. It says, for the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. So he's basically saying, I got you saved, right? Mine answer to them that do examine me is this. So obviously people are examining him and saying, they're talking crap about him, basically. And so it says, have we not power to eat and drink? You know, Paul's doing all this work for the Lord. He's turned the world upside down with the gospel. Hey, can I get a little something to eat? Can I get a little something to drink? Do you think that's too much for him to ask? That's basically what he's saying. Have I not power to eat and drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? So what's he saying here? He's saying, hey, I could work full time and get a paycheck if I wanted to, and I have the right to support a sister that lives with me, or a wife, or just like all the other apostles. So not all the apostles were necessarily pastors. I know that Paul was not a pastor, but he was an apostle. But was Peter an apostle? He was an apostle. Yes, he was. But was he a pastor? Yes, he was also a pastor. But it says the brethren of the Lord. Who's he talking about? The Lord's literal half-brothers. You know, Jude and James. So those guys, Jude and James were also people that were obviously collecting a paycheck. That's what he's talking about here, right? And so what is power? Well, power has a lot of different meanings, but what I would think of that matches this power that he's talking about is the ability to do something or act in a particular way. Don't I have the power to get a paycheck if I want? I mean, that's what he's talking about. Don't I have power to be able to be supported just like these guys are being supported? And so turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. And I'll prove to you that Peter was an elder, because, you know, people, Paul didn't collect a paycheck, okay? What this chapter is basically about is you can collect a paycheck if you're a full-time worker or if you're a pastor or whatever, but you don't have to either. Yeah. You can not do it if you don't want to, and I'll show you that here in a minute. But I just want to show you in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, it says, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder. Now, elder is just another word for pastor. Elders, pastors, bishops are all used synonymously in the Bible. And it says, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. So Peter wasn't just an apostle. He was also a pastor of a church at some point. So he was the leader at Jerusalem, but he wasn't necessarily the pastor there for very long. But he, in this letter, he's clearly telling us that he is an elder, right? So we're going to be going back and forth, so make sure you put a ribbon or a bookmark in chapter 9. We're going to go through the whole chapter tonight. Look back in our chapter at verse number 6. It says, or I only and Barnabas, have not we power to forbear working? What's he talking about? He's saying, can I stop working a full-time job and work full-time for the church? That's what he's saying. To forbear working, to stop working my secular job. Didn't the Lord Jesus Christ tell Peter to stop working his secular job and start preaching? But then he says that he went back to fishing, didn't he? So after the Lord told him to be full-time, Peter, after his denial, went back to his fishing business. And the Lord came up to him, and he was like, I did not tell you, you know, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. He wanted him to be a full-time worker. And that, if he were going to be a full-time worker, you know, for the ministry that he had, not everybody just starts off with 20 people. I mean, when Peter preached at Pentecost, there was 3,000 people got saved during that time period. And so that's way bigger than our church, right? So can he be a full-time fisherman and a full-time, you know, apostle at the same time? No. And the Lord knew that. So what's going on here? Well, you know, he's saying that people are examining him. And his answer is this: I can forbear working. But at the end of this, he kind of explains that he doesn't want to do that, and that's fine. And, you know, for the first few years that I worked for the church, I worked a full-time job and did not collect a paycheck, okay? And so, you know, but now I am full-time, and it's only for a year, but we'll see what happens. Hopefully it lasts longer than that, and I don't have to go back to that hellhole. But anyway, I don't want everyone to have to drive across that bridge unless I'm going there for a good reason, right? Anyway, I don't want to go into downtown Portland. It's just, like, bad. So anyway, but I'm thankful for the fact that I'm full-time. But, you know, people are always going to ask people that go full-time, you know, they always want to ask, well, how much are you making? Or, you know, don't you think it's rude to just ask someone how much money they're making? Yeah. You know, that's not a social norm that people should do. But, like, people just seem to think that anything the pastor does should be common knowledge to everybody. Now, if you come and ask me, I would tell you. I'm not making millions of dollars, though. I don't have a Cadillac Escalade like that guy down at the end of the parking lot. I can't say that I don't like it. But I'm not coveting it. I try not to look at it. But, yeah, I'm not making six figures. I'm not making a bunch of money. But, you know, people will always, it seems like as soon as I went full-time, people just started, you know, talking smack. You know, and I'm not saying anybody in here. I'm just saying that people just, you know, they just want to make it everybody else's business what I'm doing. But, you know, I don't go up and go, hey, Brother Robert, how much money did you make this week? You know, I just think that's weird. Yeah. You know, if it's not some exuberant amount of money, you know, I'm not trying to get rich. I've never tried to get rich. I've told you lots of times as a pastor, like even when my kids were little, that I didn't even work overtime because I just wanted to spend time with my kids and raise them. And so there's plenty of time. I could have just delved into work if I wanted to. So if I really wanted to be rich, I could have made my way to being rich. But you know what? The Bible says that we shouldn't be rich or poor. You know, I'll show you that verse later on. But, you know, look at verse number 7. It says, who goeth to warfare any time at his own charges? So if I'm the leader of the troops that are trying to lead this church into battle, you know, should I just do everything on my own dime? That's what he's saying. Who goeth to warfare at any time with his own charges? When you sign up for the military, they give you a certain amount of uniforms. I mean, I've not been in the military. I think now they make you pay for your own uniforms or something, but the United States is messed up. But anyway, you know, most of the times you're getting fed three meals a day or whatever. You're getting all your boots and your socks and all that kind of stuff. If you're in war, whoever's trying to get you to go to that war pays for all your stuff. I'm not saying that people need to pay for all my stuff. I'm just saying that he's making this point here that who goeth to warfare at his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not the fruit thereof? Okay? And I know somebody I could mention that thought that they weren't getting to eat the fruits of their labor that they planted, but they didn't plant that church. So don't sit there and act like you deserve the fruit from it when you didn't even plant it. That's weird. Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? What is he talking about? He's saying, you know, and this is a really good picture because a pastor is supposed to be the leader of a flock, right? And so what guy keeps cattle and doesn't milk the cow and get some of the milk? You know what I'm saying? That's what he's saying. You know, and people just get really uncomfortable when it's time to talk about money. But that's what this chapter is focused on, so I'm not going to just shy away from it. I'm going to preach it like I think the Bible teaches, right? So, you can see clearly that's what he's asking about. Like, who goes to war on their own charges? Who plants a vineyard and doesn't eat anything off of it? Who doesn't eat the grapes off of it? You know, it's weird to expect someone to do all this work and then not to get paid for it, not to eat of the fruits thereof, not to get fed from the flock. And it says, who feedeth the flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? So Paul's saying this, and he's using his own words to say it. But then he's also saying, you know, the Bible actually says the same thing. The Bible actually says that you're supposed to take care of the full-time workers in the church, right? Now, just know, not every bozo that wants to just come up and say, hey, I want to be a full-time worker, I'm just going to just shell out some money. Look, I had to wait too, okay? But first of all, there's some qualifications, and there's offices that we have at this church. The pastor, the deacon, you know, we have evangelists. There's, you know, different kinds of full-time workers that you could just be an assistant and be a full-time worker. But Paul's saying here that God agrees with him, doesn't it? Isn't that what it says? Or saith not the law the same also? Look at verse 9. It says, for it is written. Isn't that what one of Jesus' most famous things that he'd always say? It is written. In the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? What's he saying here? He's saying that scripture from the Old Testament is actually teaching that you're not supposed to muzzle the ox, the person, the man of God, the person that's a full-time worker. You're not supposed to muzzle that person. You're not supposed to not take care of that person. You're not supposed to not feed that person. You're not supposed to not pay that person. That you're supposed to take care of that. You can't just, hey, do all this work, but you don't get to eat any of it. That's a weird concept. You know, at this church, I think that we're a pretty generous church. Like, there's always food being provided for everybody and stuff like that. Wouldn't it be weird if, like, I got all that pizza last weekend and got the bagels, and you guys were like, don't eat the fruits thereof, Pastor Thompson. No bagels for you. I mean, that'd be weird, right? The person that, you know, is trying to lead all this up, and you just say, but that's the mentality of some people. And people just want to get all up in what the pastor's business is and what they're doing. Hey, do we have a brand new building here? You know, do we have everything we need? Do we have invitations over there that you can go out soul winning with? Are we sent soul winning every single week? Now almost every single day of the week? You know, is all the needs of the church provided? Are we lacking anything in here? No, we're not. So as long as I'm doing a good job, then people shouldn't just be worried about what I'm doing or how much I'm getting paid. You know, if you think I'm getting, I'll show you what I get paid right after church. I'll show you my pay stubs if it's that big of a deal to you. But I just find it very weird because I never walk up to the men in this church and go, hey, how much church money are you making? It's weird. So, and I'm not saying don't check into anything or anything like that. I'm just saying, you know, obviously if I roll up in a Mercedes next week, you guys might want to find out what's going on. But I rolled up in a 2003 Ford F-150 that has key marks and scratches all over the side of it. That has 235,000 miles on it. So it's not like I'm just rolling in the dough. Like, you know, you come by my house, and in the garage, the secret Lamborghini's in there. You know, I've been accused of being covetous. Really? Okay, go. Just look at my life. Just look at what I have. I don't have a lot. I just live within my means. I paid off all my debt. You know, it took a long time, but I'm debt-free pretty much. I had to buy some stupid tires at Les Schwab, and it ruined it all. But you know how they are now. They're just like, milk you for everything you got. That'll be $3,000. What? For tires? No, I'm just kidding. It wasn't $3,000. But you know what I'm saying? But people just get weird about money. They really do, and they're just like, don't worry about it. As long as everything's going great in the church, that's what you should worry about. Are you getting, you know, the Bible preached to you? Are you getting edified at this church? Those are the things that you should really be worried about, but I don't worry about what you make, so you shouldn't worry about what I make. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong about that. Maybe I need to be ultra transparent. I'll just have like my check beamed up on the back room so everybody knows. how much money I make every week. So anyway, so it says, does God take care for oxen? Or saith he all together for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt. This is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope. Hey, if a man is working hard, if a man of God is working hard, then he should be able to plow in hope. He should be able to work hard, and you know, and his family's taken care of. You know, he doesn't have to worry whether he plows and there's nothing on the dinner table that night. And it says, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. You know what threshing is? Anybody know what threshing is? It's where you beat the heck out of some wheat and knock all the grains off it. I had to watch a video because, I mean, I kind of knew what it was, but I just wanted to make sure I was right about that. So, but anyway, it's separating grain from a plant. And basically that's how, you know, instead of picking all the kernels off of a thing of wheat, you know, you just beat it up and then it falls into a bucket or something. I don't know. That's hand doing. I know they have automated stuff nowadays, but anyway, if you're working hard, the Bible's saying here that you shouldn't have to worry about whether you're getting paid or not. If a pastor's working hard and doing all that he can do to make the church grow and get better, and leading right, judging correctly, you know, and that includes loving people and kicking people out and protecting the flock that we have here. See, a shepherd's job is not just to be love, love, love all the time. You know, I want to be love. I want to be loving. I want to be friendly. I want to be nice. But, you know, there's some people that just need to get kicked out sometimes. And we haven't had to kick anybody out in a long time, but it's, you know, I'm sure it's going to happen at some point. Somebody's going to get kicked out. Somebody's going to come in here and try to cause problems. And look, just like when Korah, Dathan, and Abiram came and tried to just say, well, all the people of the Lord are holy, and then just tried to take over everything. And what happened to them? They dropped into the pit alive, right? They split hell wide open. That's what people get that term from. That's where it's from. Now, I'm going to have you turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 18. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 18. And while you're turning there, I'm going to read Deuteronomy 25:4, which is where Paul quoted this verse from. It says, thou shalt not muzzle the ox when he treadeth out the corn. This is one of Justin's favorite verses in the Bible. But 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 18. And I want you to keep your finger here because we're going to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. But just let me read the verse here real quick. It says, for the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. And the laborer is worthy of his reward. Someone that works expects to get paid, don't they? Right? So, but when I first started the church here, I didn't ask for a paycheck, did I? I worked my own job. And actually, I worked a heck of a lot of overtime at the same time as I was doing it. And you all know that's true. Anybody that was here from the start or saw, they know that. And I wanted to do that. So I could forbear. Could I have taken a partial paycheck way before I did? I probably could have. But, you know, I wanted our church to thrive and be able to do the things that we wanted to do. You know, when we do homeschool field trips and things like that, that costs a lot of extra money. And so, but I didn't want our church to go without. And so I just was like, you know, I don't care. I'll forego doing that for a time. And people are always saying, and you know this is true, people would always come up to me, when are you going full time, Pastor? Hey, Pastor, when are you going full time? I'm like, I don't know. Stop asking me. I just didn't know. I was just, I don't know. And I don't think people meant anything by it. But it's funny. It's like, as soon as I go full time, people are like, you know how much he's making? You know what he, just shut up. Why don't you go try to run a church and see how easy it is? But anyway, it says the laborer is worthy of his reward. So all those times I was working, could I have gotten paid for that? Yeah, I could have. So there's nothing in the world wrong with that. But yet, this is like a dirty little, you know, people get offended at sermons like this. They're like, we could all be pastors. Okay, Korah, why don't you just go be the pastor of your coffee clutch at your house or something? But you're not going to do that here. Now, keep your finger right here in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and go back to our verse 11 in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, it says, if we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing that we should reap your carnal things? Again, what's it talking about? Well, when the man of God gets up and preaches the word of God and they're sowing to you spiritual things, things that are going to help you with your life, things that are going to edify you, things that are going to get you better, make you perfect. Is it such a big deal that you would take care of that person that's doing that with carnal things? What are carnal things? Food, water, electricity, home, that kind of stuff. Now, this is not just some weird off-the-wall teaching. The whole Old Testament talks about it over and over again. But now you had your finger there. Now turn back where you had your finger in 1 Timothy chapter 5. Look at verse 17. It says, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine." So I preach 3 sermons a week, generally, every week. You know, last week I got off the hook and I only had to preach one. But I also was in the middle of this moving thing, and it was a hard week. You know, I'm glad I only had to preach one time a week, or I would have been in deep trouble, because I literally wrote my sermon on Sunday morning before I got here. So that's how busy I was. Like, I tried to write some on Saturday night, and I wrote like a little skeleton part of it. And I was just like, just fell asleep. But like, I'm not trying to toot my own horn. I'm just saying that people that labor in the word and doctrine, labor, that means you're working, you're actually reading your Bible, you're actually studying for the sermons that you preach, you put tons of Bible in there, you try to explain things to people. And that's not just the only spiritual thing that you do, but like it says, if you rule well, and you know, especially those that labor in the word of doctrine and doctrine, you know, and you're going to get a lot of word and you're going to get a lot of doctrine at this church. But also you're going to get other spiritual things. There's other spiritual things that go on here. You know, this other spiritual things like sending people out soul winning. Those types of things. And, you know, the pastor is responsible for all this different stuff. And look, this isn't a horn-tooting sermon for myself. I'm just saying that any man of God that works hard should be able to just be comforted in the fact that they can earn a paycheck, at least someday. Now, not every church that starts out, the pastor's going to be able to do that. You know, if you go and try to start a church in Hawaii, it's a lot more expensive than living here. So you're going to have to be able to work a job there that can, where you can afford the crazy amount of rent there. You know, you'd think people would be knocking and beating down the door to want to be the pastor there, but it's just not true, because it takes a special individual and a special probably job to have that be the case. But, you know, if you're getting spiritual things from a man of God, then there's nothing wrong with taking care of that guy. Now turn to Numbers chapter 18. Now, the New Testament, when the New Testament happened, the Levitical priesthood went away. Okay? Jesus Christ is the high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, right? But in the Old Testament, they had people, the Levites, they were people that didn't have an inheritance with the rest of the people. Their inheritance was the Lord, and the Lord took care of them from the tithe of the people. And so all the people that carried all that stuff, all the stakes and I'm sure you've been in the Old Testament where you're just like, okay, I know about the stakes, I know about the tabernacle, I know about the badger skin and how much so-and-so gave, how many chargers he had, you know, and all, and every single tribe, and it explains how much talents of gold they gave and all this other stuff. But people had to, you know, we're talking about 600,000 footmen. That's just people, men, armed, ready for war. That's a big congregation. That's not including all the people that couldn't fight or were too young to fight, or the women. Because, you know, God doesn't believe in women going to battle, just in case you didn't know that. But anyway, so I just want to explain this, because in the Old Testament, there was a family of priests and full-time workers, and they not necessarily got up and preached, but they did spiritual things. They took care of the spiritual things of God's house and took care of the house of God. They moved all the stuff. Whenever they moved, they took care of it. They maintenanced everything and all that stuff. But now in the New Testament, we don't have that Levitical priesthood. And so, but does that mean, and this is what other people will say, they'll be like, tithing is not in the New Testament. Well, yeah, because it told us about it in the Old Testament. Murder isn't they don't have to put the Ten Commandments back into the New Testament to tell us that murder's wrong. That stuff carries over. And this chapter alone totally destroys that way of thinking, because if there's no tithing, then how are you going to pay someone that's a full-time worker? You know, just everybody's just going to bring over some wheatgrass for them and some, kefir and, you know, some, they're you know, I mean, that's not how our society works today. In the place that we live now in 2021, everybody deals in cash, pretty much. Now, some people do some gardening and things like that. Some people bring, you know, pickled things for us and stuff like that. It's really nice. But in the Old Testament, they were taken care of by the tithes of the people. Let me start reading because I got to hurry up here. Numbers chapter 18. Did I have you turn there? Numbers chapter 18. Look at verse number 7. I'm going to have to skip through some of this, but you'll get the basic idea here. Numbers chapter 18. Therefore, thou and thy sons with thee shall keep your priest office for everything of the altar and within the veil, and ye shall serve. I have given your priest office unto you as a service of gift. You see that? The priests were given to the people to do all the work for the tabernacle, anything that was preached, anything that was taught, but the priest's office was given as a service of gift. God gives people to full-time service. That's a gift that God gives people. Now it says, and the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. So in other words, some bozo off the street can't just walk up and say, hey, get out of the way, I'm going to preach today. No, he put him to death. No, not really, but throw him out the door, okay? Anyway, verse 8, it says, and the Lord spake unto Aaron, behold, I also have given thee the charge of mine heave offerings of all the hallowed things of the children of Israel. Unto thee have I given them by reason of the anointing, and to thy sons by an ordinance. For how long? Forever. Doesn't it say forever? Now the anointing, what's that talking about? The anointing oil. All right, and it says in verse 9, this shall be thine of the most holy things, reserved from the fire, every oblation of theirs, every meat offering of theirs, and every sin offering of theirs, and every trespass offering of theirs, which they shall render unto me, shall the most holy for three, shall be most holy for thee and thy sons. So are you just paying the person that does it, or are you paying for their whole family? It's their whole family. It says, in the most holy place, verse 10, thou shalt thou eat it. Every male shall eat it. It shall be holy unto thee. And this is thine, the heave offering of their gift, with all the wave offerings of the children of Israel I have given them unto thee and to thy sons and to thy daughters with thee by a statute for how long? Forever. Everyone that is clean in thy house shall eat of it. All the best of the oil. Does it say the Taco Bell? Hey, bring all the Taco Bell to the priest because, you know, they don't really deserve to have the best stuff. All the best wine, all of the wheat, the first fruits of them which shall offer unto the Lord, them have I given thee. So they're getting the best of everything. Because aren't they giving the Lord the best that they have? Isn't that what you're supposed to do? Give the Lord the best that you have? Or were they supposed to come and bring diseased lambs and one-eyed lambs and all, you know, mangy looking? Here you go, Lord. No, they're supposed to be without blemish, without spot. They're supposed to be good things. And you know what? The Levites ate and were supported directly off those things. So were they supposed to just bring the best stuff and then give the Levites McDonald's? No. Were they supposed to bring the best gifts and bring the Levites just some garbage, junky food? Here's some crunch and munch, buddy. Have fun. No, they got to eat of the best things. Why? Because that was their portion. The Lord was their portion. Who are they giving the stuff to? The Lord. It says, which they shall bring it to the Lord shall be thine. Verse 13, everyone that is clean in thine house shall eat of it. Everything devoted in Israel shall be thine. Skip down to verse 19. It says, and all the heave offerings of the holy things which the children of Israel offer unto the Lord have I given thee, and thy sons and thy daughters by a statute. For how long again? Do you think God's trying to drill that thing into our heads? Yeah, forever. It is a covenant of salt forever before the Lord unto thee and to thy seed with thee. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land. So what is that telling you? They didn't have a way to make a living besides working for the Lord. That was their job, to work for the Lord. They couldn't just buy fields. They didn't get houses inherited to them. You know, they just had to work for the Lord, and he provided for them through the tithes and offerings. Excuse me. It says, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land. Verse 20, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part and thine inheritance among the children of Israel. So that's full-time workers, isn't it? Isn't that what you would call that? Okay, look at verse 21. And behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance for their service which they serve. What are they doing? They're serving, aren't they? They're working. Even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. What would that be in modern times? The church, right? The house of the Lord. Excuse me. Skip down to verse 23. But the Levites shall do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations that among the children of Israel they have no inheritance. You think that's pretty clear? They were full-time workers. God took care of them, right? Look at verse 24 here. It says, but the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as an heave offering unto the Lord, I have given to the Levites to inherit. Therefore I have said unto them among the children of Israel, they shall have no inheritance. Skip down to verse 31. And ye shall eat it in every place, ye and your households, for it is your reward for your service in the tabernacle of the congregation. So is there any, do you think it's evident that the Old Testament Levites were paid full time? And their families? Yeah. Okay, so why would that change in the New Testament? Where do you see that changing? You see the Levitical priesthood changing. But Paul is saying, hey, people that plow should plow in hope. People that the laborer is worthy of his reward. Don't we have power to eat and drink? Isn't that what he said? And he's referring back to the law of Moses, which refers you back here and telling you we're still doing the same thing. Turn to Nehemiah chapter 13. Nehemiah chapter 13, this is a time, and Nehemiah was having all these problems, and he was pulling people's hair out and threatening people that came on the Sabbath day. And he was a pretty tough dude, it sounded like, because everybody was afraid of him. But he was away for a while, and when he came back, I think he had to go back to Artaxerxes for some reason. I'm not 100% sure about that. But look at verse 10 in Nehemiah 13. It says, and I perceived that the portions of the Levites had not been given them. So what's going on here? The Levites aren't getting paid. And it says, for the Levites and the singers that did the work were fled everyone to his field. So what did they do? Just like Peter, they went back to their old job. But they weren't supposed to do that. They weren't even supposed to have a field, as far as I know. I mean, maybe it was just their garden. Maybe they were just trying to grow enough stuff so they could actually put food on the table. There's a lot of wicked churches out here today that they'll just sit there and just make their pastor be poor, make that guy grovel and feel like he has, you know, you need to be down here. We're the ones that are the boss of you. And that's not the way it is. Hey, I believe in servant leadership and I believe in serving this church, but I'm not anybody's footstool, okay? And, you know, I do want to serve. That's servant leadership. Jesus did get on his hands and knees and wash the disciples' feet. I don't have a problem with that. But what I have a problem with is people, you know, talking smack when they don't know what they're talking about. Why don't you try reading your Bible one time through, and then maybe we'll talk. Yep. So these Levites here were having to go back out into the world and work a regular job when they should have been sitting there being able to do the service of the Lord. And Nehemiah is like, that's not happening. What did he do? Excuse me. Verse 11. Then contended I. Nehemiah's bad to the bone, isn't he? Then contended I with the rulers and said, why is the house of God forsaken? And I gathered them together and I set them in their place, then brought all Judah the tithe. Here's the other problem. There's people that don't believe in tithing. I don't know in this church, because look, I don't look at your tithing slips. I don't. I know that people probably think I do, but I don't. The only thing I ever see is online donations. That's it. But I don't look, and you can ask the ushers, I never look. Do I ever look? I don't look, all right? So, unless it was some special situation, okay? Someone's going to go, I saw it one time, someone gave a check. Shut up. All right, so, but, So he contended with them. It says, and I gathered them and set them in their place and then brought all Judah the tithe. Does it say some of them, just the ones that believed in tithing? No. Hey, everybody in this church is supposed to tithe. You know what? I tithe. I tithe off of what I get. So, you know, I expect that, you know, if you're right with God, you're going to tithe. That's 10% of your income. You know, and I'm not going to come over to your house like the Mormons and say, guess what you owe? I know how much you make. Brother Alex, I know how much you make. Here's a bill. That's what they did to my grandma. She was like just like searching for some church, and she just happened to go to the Mormon church. I think she joined the Mormon church or something. But anyway, they came to her door and knocked on her door one time. I think she had quit going at that time. And they're like, handed her a bill. She was like, what's this? It was a bill for her tithing. She's like, get out of here and don't ever come back. Wicked, that wicked and slothful servants. Anyway, so look, I'm not going to come to your house with a bill. But you know what? If you trust God and you don't want him to destroy you, right. You don't want him to destroy it. Hey, why does my car break down all the time? Why don't you tithe? Maybe he'll let it last for 40 years like the children of Israel's shoes in the wilderness. You know, I always hate to mention things that I've been running for a long time because I know that's superstitious, but you know, we've moved into the place we have, and our wash machine and dryer have never quit running since we went in, and we haven't done anything to them. I mean, we barely clean the lint out of them. I mean, it's I need to do some maintenance. I'm sure once I do the maintenance, then the whole thing will fall apart, right? But like, so God will make your stuff to last. He's not going to shoot holes through your bags. He's not going to let the destroyer come and devour you and devour your stuff. You know, people think, well, I'm scared. God promised that he would take care of you. He said, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord. And he's going to open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. You know, he says, that's one of the few verses where he just actually says, just prove me. Prove it. I guarantee you, when you just trust God with your finances, that he will take care of you. And hey, people tell these stories where like, you know, I didn't have enough money to tithe, but, you know, I did anyway, and I was just like sweating bullets, and the check came from some weird place. And who's had that happen to them? I know I have. None of you guys aren't tithing. I'm just kidding. I'm only teasing. But it does happen. It does. It's happened to me more than one time. And, you know, all I know is that God said that he would do it. And so you shouldn't be that surprised. It's like, oh, cool, I forgot all about that insurance money or whatever it is. You know, you were in some class action thing and you got sent like $78, enough to cover your phone bill or whatever it was. I mean, things like that. God's going to bless. But, you know, it says in verse 12, then brought all Judah the tithe of the corn and the new wine and the oil unto the treasuries. And I made treasurers over the treasuries, Shelemiah, the priest, Zadok, the scribe, and of the Levites, Pedaiah, and next to them was Hanan, the son of Zakur, and the son of Mattaniah, for they were counted faithful, and their office was to distribute unto the brethren. What was their job? They were faithful men, and they made sure that the priest got paid what they were supposed to get paid. Look at verse 14. Remember me, O God, concerning this, and wipe not out my good deeds that I've done for the house of my God and for the offices thereof. See, the offices of the church, the house of God, are what in the New Testament? See, the house of God is the pillar and ground of the truth, right? It is the church. You know, in the New Testament, so, you know, just translate this to New Testament, this is the house of God. This is the house of God. This is the pillar and ground of the truth. And there's offices that run churches. The pastor is one of those offices. The deacon is another one of those offices. And they don't run anything. They just work for the pastor. But they are leadership. And they are full-time paid people. Now, and when it comes to evangelists, there's no like clear thing about that. But I believe that evangelists are full-time people that just go and preach the gospel. And they can help set up churches. And, you know, if they're not qualified, there's no specific qualifications for them. But I would say that they're probably on par with the other qualifications, just like the deacons and the pastors, right? But obviously evangelists don't have to have children, right? As far as I know, you know, and I believe Paul was an evangelist. Do you think he was? Yeah. I think he was. And he didn't have children. He didn't have a wife. So Anyway, but there's certain kinds of, you know, Brother Oliver, before he became Deacon Oliver, was a full-time paid staff member. You know, he didn't have an office, but, you know, you can still pay people to do stuff around the church, but it's just not an office. So now he is in the office of a deacon. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. You're like, why do you get so animated about this, Pastor Thompson? Well, I don't know. Because it's annoying when people are just like, I don't believe in tithing. You mean you're just cheap? You're just a cheapskate. Right. Just admit it. I'm so cheap I squeak when I walk. When a bird flies over my head, it goes, cheap, cheap, cheap. You're cheap. Amen. I don't believe in tithing. Yeah, you mean you're just cheap. You know, when you're not rich toward God, you better watch out what the Bible says about that. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles. So he gave some, right? Remember how he gave the Levites to the service? Look at this. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Every good gift cometh from above. It comes from God, every good gift that we have. And look, I'm not, you know, don't say Pastor Thompson said he was a good gift. Stop. All right, I'm not saying that. But the office of a pastor is. And if the pastor is doing a good job, then they're doing that job well. So look at verse 12. It says, for the perfecting of the saints. What's the purpose of these full-time workers? These workers that God gave people, that gave the church? For the perfecting of the saints. Does that mean you're going to walk on water after the service? No, it doesn't. It just means what I talked about on Sunday, about being balanced. You know, being the complete package. That's what it's talking about. You're not going to be sinless. The perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. You know the ministry's work? Just, you know, if you hung around me last week, you knew I was working. A lot of these guys in here and ladies were working hard, you know, and the ministry is hard work. You know, it's not easy. Think about the deadline every week. Every week. You know, some of you guys preach in here and you fill in, and I appreciate that. But if you had to do it every week, it'd be a little bit harder, wouldn't it? Not just once a week, but I'm talking three times a week. You know, it's hard. Or if you get called to some conference or something, then you're... I think I preached 5 sermons when I went to Tucson. So I preached here, then I preached two sermons when I was at the camp, and then I preached another sermon on Thursday? Yeah. So 5 sermons. I think that might have been my record of preaching sermons in a week. But I was bushed afterwards. And you know what? Spiritual work is hard work. So much study is a weariness to the flesh. And when you're just reading and reading and reading and trying to just like put together sermons, it's you know, anybody that's done like office work and you look at the screen all day, I've done both. I've done construction and I've done office work. And I feel like I've come home way more tired from office work than I have from construction work. That's weird. It's like you would think it's the opposite. But like obviously your body's tired from doing construction, but like your brain is done when you do like office work and so when you're looking at a screen all the time and stuff. It's just, I'm not saying it's harder, I'm just saying it's still hard. You know, when you go soul winning, it's hard work, isn't it? Can you explain? It's hard to explain to someone that's never gone soul winning before. You know, even if you're not walking very far, even if you're just doing the bottom rows, even if you've knocked 5 doors, but if you preach the gospel a couple of times, you're bushed, you're done, you're toast. You know, just giving one gospel presentation can make you feel really tired. Can I get a witness, sir? All right, good. So God gave these full-time people to us for perfecting the saints, for the work of the ministry, because it's work. You know, this doesn't just happen on accident. For the edifying of the body of Christ. You know, that's the important things, you know. And obviously you can get a lot, you can learn everything you need to know out of Bible reading, but these specific things that God gives these men is for the perfecting of the saints. That's a high caliber and high calling job. And to do the work of the ministry and to edify. I've preached not too long ago about how people don't want to be pastors anymore. You know, they see Pastor Menes get, you know, persecuted. They see Pastor Shelley get persecuted. They see our church get persecuted. They see all these YouTube trolls, these people that leave our churches, and they're just on there pretending to be us and saying all manner of wicked and evil things against us. And people are just like, I don't know if I want to deal with that. But you know what? You know, it does suck sometimes. It is annoying. It does wear on you. But you know what? When I think about how important the job that I have is, I just get back on the horse and keep riding. No matter how I feel. I still got to get up and preach 3 sermons a week. You know, and if you're under attack, you know, it kind of happens in waves, you know. And then, like, when we first started the church, we had low-level devils, right? We had, like, who'd we have? Like, Sebastian, and, you know, we had some of these guys that were pretty easy. I mean, they came in, their wolf ears were sticking out, their tails wagging behind them. It's, like, pretty easy. Like, this dude is bowing at the door. You know, that's a little strange. It's like, why do you do that? And he sticks his foot inside the door when they, you know, they're like trying to close the door. He's like sticks his foot in there. That's weird. Those people are easy to pick off. But as you grow and as the church gets, God knows what we can handle. But different levels, different devils. Newer levels, bigger devils. That's what's going to happen. And that is what happens. So, you know, but am I trying to scare you from being in the ministry? No, I want people to go in the ministry. Hey, if you can get qualified, if you can be in the ministry, God needs people to stand in the gap. Because there's a lot of people that are falling out. And we need more men. Look what it says in verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. There's a whole different subgroup out there that just wants us to fall. They want us to fail. They want this church to be stopped. They want this church to fail. They want to destroy me. They want to destroy each and every single person in this room and get them to stop serving Christ because they serve their master, the devil. And there are people out there that hate us, and they just can't sleep at night until they do some kind of manner of evil against us. And they're plotting, and they're trying to overthrow us. But you know what? They're not going to win. But, you know, they're there. They have this sleight of men, this wind, every wind of doctrine. They want to toss you to and fro and teach you all this wickedness. And it says lie and wait to deceive. The Bible talks about people that would lie and wait to murder someone. But these people are lying in wait to murder your soul. They want to hurt you. They want to make you fall out. They want to make you quit. They want to make you say, this church is a cult. You should leave. This church isn't doing that right. This church, you know what? We went out and busted our tails this last weekend, so on. And you know what? We reaped because of that. And God blessed our church because of that. Don't tell me soul winning doesn't work. Don't tell me this church isn't loving. It's hard to love people. You know, it's hard to love people that go outside and defecate on our sidewalk. That's pretty hard. It's hard for me to put up with stuff like that. But you know what? That's just the way it is. You know? So see me after the service if you want the more gory details about that. But I know I would have thrown up if I would have cleaned it up. So it wasn't me. But anyway, now let's go back to our text in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Look at verse number 12. Verse number 12. It says, if others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? So he's talking about the other people that are in full-time service. Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Now, so this is their choice to do that. But he's saying we do have the power to be full-time. We do have the freedom to be full-time. But, you know, he's got all these people accusing him. He's answering these people, hey, you know, if you got a big problem with it, here's what the Bible says about it. God agrees with me. Now look at verse 13. It says, do you not know that they which minister about the holy things live of the things of the temple? So he's directly referring to the Old Testament. And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Does that seem like a clear verse? Yeah, it does. So I don't know where these people, these bozos, come up with this. The Mormons, they have their bishops or whatever, and they don't pay them. They don't pay them to do it, and they just read off these sheets or whatever. They don't have the Spirit of God. You know, and that's a shame to make someone, I mean, obviously I don't care because they're devils, but, you know, it's not right to not pay people for when they do something. So, And you notice how it's talking about, everything it's talking about is food and drink and things that you need to you know, it's funny that that's what's used as the example. You know, that's the first thing. You know, don't you need food to pretty much eat every day? I mean, unless you're fasting for 40 days and 40 nights and you're just really on that hillbilly housewife diet or whatever, where you're just getting saltine crackers and like you got a $68 budget or something, but that, I don't think that budget works anymore. It's probably the $268 diet now, but anyway, so where am I at here? So it says in verse 14, even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. So, you know, the Bible's very clear. Paul's very clear. He lays it out very clearly. He goes back to the Old Testament. He says, this is what the law says. So why would he go back and say, this is what the law says, if it doesn't apply anymore? But, I mean, does that make sense? Paul's deep into the New Testament here. Why would he go back and reference to things of the law if they didn't mean anything right now? Because if it was null and void, then he wouldn't even bring it up. So it says, but I have used, verse 15, but I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be so done unto me, for it were better for me to die than any man should make my glorying void. And you know what? If people were just like all upset about it, I would rather just go back to work. I don't want to deal with people talking crap about me like that. I'd rather just go back to work. You know, I mean, it gets old. Look at verse 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. So it's kind of changing patterns here. But, you know, there are thousands of people out there. Just let me tell you this. There's thousands of people out there taking paychecks that aren't even preaching the gospel. And he's saying, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Hey, if you're going to get paid, you should at least be preaching the gospel. Now, we don't charge other people to preach the gospel to them. We don't knock on the door and go, hey, for $2.99, we can preach the gospel to you in about 10 minutes. How would you like to do that? You know, I mean, that's not right. What we give for free. You know what I'm saying? So, but it's this is talking about, you know, we shouldn't charge people to preach the gospel to them. What was that class again? What was that guy's name? Yeah, but they charge. What was the charge? $20 per person. $20 per person to teach you how to preach the gospel. I mean, how weird is that? Like, you can come here and just learn for free. We should just like tag and hashtag that or something and make people come to us. Anyway, but there's lots of pastors out there that don't even preach the gospel. They get a paycheck every week. Sick. Look at verse 17. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward, but if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Now, just really quickly, I know we're running out of time here, but this is not talking about dispensationalism, okay? It's talking about a dispensation. What does dispensation mean? It means the action of distributing or supplying something. So, you know, Paul's saying, for if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. So we should willingly go out and go soul winning. That's what he's saying. But if against my will, so sometimes people, you know, like say I hired a deacon or something. I said, hey, guess what? You're gonna go preach the gospel on Wednesdays and Thursdays. And that's your job. You know, that's not going willingly, isn't it? That's some, your boss is telling you to do that. And so, you know, but even so, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto him. You know, if he had to do it, you know, not willingly, but he just was kind of forced to do it, then a dispensation of the gospel, distributing the gospel is still committed unto him. God called him to do it, whether he gets paid or not. Look at verse 18. What is my reward? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. So he's not preaching the gospel. He's not charging people, obviously. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became a Jew. Now, people go crazy with this stuff here too. So I don't expect you to go into a Jewish neighborhood and put on the funny hat and put the little, what are those little locks that they have, and you're just pretending like you're a Jew or something. hey, if you have some kind of kinship with them that you can kind of meet them in the middle with, or some, maybe you have a Jewish background or something, you know, you try to meet them where it's not going to corrupt you. Don't just say, oh, I don't eat pork because you don't eat pork. And you gotta be realistic about this kind of stuff. But it says that I might gain the Jews. So you can go so far, but if it's your ministry to reach the drunkards at the bar, you know, don't become a drunkard so that you can reach the drunkards. Okay, that's what I'm saying. So, and it says, to them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. So Paul was a Jew, right? But also he was the apostle to the Gentiles. So he knew how to talk to people. You know, he knew how to put his Jew on a little bit, I'm sure, when he was talking to the Jews. But, you know, he wasn't trying to, you know, I would say that you're crossing a line if you're breaking God's commandments to do that, okay? So if you can, you know, maybe he's just speaking Hebrew or whatever. Maybe, you know, he's appealing to the Gentiles by saying they don't have to, you know, keep the Jewish feast or whatever. I don't know, but we don't have to go too crazy with this. But what he's saying is that, like, we should try to meet people somewhere where we can have a kinship with them to be able to preach the gospel to them. Try to find something that you can, some kind of way to forge a quick relationship with that person while you're preaching to them. Yeah. I'm not talking about lifestyle evangelism, but, you know, you can get someone to laugh at the door and, well, like Brother Alex said today, I'll just use it. Is it okay if I use it as an example? So we're in this neighborhood preaching the gospel. There's a lot of Ukrainians and Russians there. And Brother Alex, what's your last name again? Kornichuk, all right? I'm working on it, okay? Don't be mad at me. So, but he's Ukrainian. He used to speak the language, and so, like, these Ukrainians are answering the door. And so, you know, he is Ukrainian, but he doesn't speak the language, but he's still, like, these people are coming to the door, and he's like, you know, the accent's coming back when he's at the door. No, I'm just kidding. But, To the Ukrainian, he became a Ukrainian. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, he used it as an inroad to, like, get a kinship with that person. So it says, to the weak became I weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. So he, by all means that he can, he's going to try his best to become all things to all men that he can save some. Now, here's where, you know, people always say, you don't save anybody and all this other stuff. What did Paul say? That I might by all means save some. He said me. I might by all means save some. And look, I'm not saying that, you know, they ask Aaron into their heart, okay, when I go to their door. I'm helping them. I'm guiding them as an ambassador to show them, you know, the truth, and helping them to make a connection to reconcile them with God. Because everybody that we go to the door and they're not saved, they're an enemy of God. We're trying to make a reconciliation as an ambassador to Christ and say, hey, this is God. He loves you. He died on the cross for you. You know, if you don't believe in him, you're going to go to hell. But, you know, I want to help you reconcile with God, because right now you're his enemy. And he's going to destroy you. You know, obviously, you don't have to say exactly like that, but that's what we do, isn't it? We try to, with the scriptures, explain to people how they can be friends with God again, because they're not friends with God at that point. Isn't that true? And it's up to us to try to do our best to become all things to all men also, that we might save some also. Look at verse 23. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race, run all? But one receiveth the prize, so run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. So it's talking about being temperate in your life. And we get a crown for that. We get an incorruptible crown for that. And what I was kind of talking about this, you know, obviously these verses came up when I was preaching on Sunday. But that temperance is basically having that balance in your life. It's having the balance that you're temperate in all things. And that's going to get you the balance in your life as a Christian that you need. You know, if you're reading your Bible every day and you're praying, you're going soul winning, you're going to church, you got a good balance. But if you just go to church once a month, soul winning once a month, read your Bible once a month, that's not a balance, because all the other 29 days, you're failing. And so that's not being temperate in all things. So we need to be temperate in all things so that we can win the prize. Right. And the nice thing about our race, the Christian race, the race that we run, is that every one of us can win that prize. Right? So in a race, you know, you got all these people. You got, like I said, the Olympics going on right now, and all these people are running. Only one person gets the win. But as Christians, we're all running a race together. We're all in one accord, striving together for the gospel. And we all get to win. That's what's cool. We all get to win. So, and we get that incorruptible crown if we're temperate in all things. And 1 Thessalonians, I'm just going to read this for you because I'm out of time. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19 says, "For what is your hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy." So we also get this soul winning crown for someone. You know, what's our glory? That other people are going to heaven with us. You know, Paul, what is Paul's glory? What was his reward? He wants to win people to Christ. That's his main thing. So look at in verse 26 in our text, it says, "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means I myself should be cast away." So Paul's just saying, you know, don't live your life as a hypocrite. You know, bring your body into subjection. And that's not just your physical body. You know, I would say it's more talking about your spiritual well-being, you know. But, I mean, obviously, you know, if you're 600 pounds, my 600-pound life, you know, it's not a good testimony, right? So, you know, some people will have a little bit of a weight problem, and we're working on it, right? But, you know, we should try our best to keep ourselves in subjection and in temperance with all things. So I'm going to apply this, and we'll be done. Don't get carried away with these clowns that want to put a pastor or full-time Christian worker under everyone's thumb. We have a freedom and power to make a living. We shouldn't have to grovel and feel bad about it. I don't feel like we should. As long as you're doing a good job. You know, if I'm doing a crappy job, then by all means say something about it. But if you feel like I'm doing a good job, now don't just sit there and nitpick me either. Well, you know, I think we need to dock his pay because, you know, he was late or whatever. You're late, not me. I'm going to dock your pay. Oh, you don't get paid. Sorry. Anyway, we shouldn't have to eat the worst foods either. You know, have you ever heard that sermon where Pastor Anderson talks about, you know, the organic feed? Someone's like, "Hey, how's it going with that organic feed?" You know, that's what I'm talking about. So the Levites were eating good food. Like, is there anything wrong with eating good food? You know, the pastor's life is unhealthy enough as it is. So should you have to eat the crappiest food? You know, I don't agree with that. So, and is everything I eat wholesome and healthy? No. But, like, what's wrong with eating something that's wholesome and healthy? You know, should I have to go to McDonald's every time I go out to eat? Should I get you guys the best? Should we get prime rib on Christmas and then I get, like, flank steak or something? That's not right. And that's, you know, that's the opposite of what the Bible teaches. And I'm not saying that I have to have, like, a meat locker filled with the best grain-fed, you know, Black Angus or whatever. I mean, come on. I'm not saying that. But, like, you shouldn't have to, like, beg for scraps or something. So, you know, Proverbs 30, verse 8 and 9 says, "Remove far away from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me." 7-Eleven. No, I'm just joking. but, you know, what's the Bible saying? Hey, I should, as a pastor, as a full-time worker, I shouldn't be rich. If I'm rich, you can criticize me all you want. If I, you know, and I shouldn't be poor either. You know, what pastor is going to want to just work their guts out for a church when there's churches out there that the deacons run that church and they tell the pastor how much he makes. And they make him, you know, and these pastors that hire assistant pastors, they hire them for like the less than minimum wage. They make him work all these salaried hours, and then, you know, they're basically practically living on welfare. It's not right. You should pay people what they deserve, period. So when we preach the gospel and live of the thing, we need to, when we preach the gospel as a pastor, I should be able to live of the things that are dedicated to the Lord, just like other pastors. And ultimately, I work for the Lord. So I'm accountable for everything that I do to Him. Now, am I accountable to you? I am accountable to you. But I'm also mainly accountable to the Lord. So, and I said before, I believe in servant leadership. I believe it's my job to serve this church, and that's what I try to do. So if I'm failing in any area, please take me aside, and we'll talk about it. But if you, I just, when people don't complain, then I feel like I'm doing okay. But obviously, if you had a real problem with something I was doing, you can come talk to me. But talking to me in front of the whole church or something like that, that's just not right. So anyway, Peter was a full-time worker. And how did he earn his living? From preaching and teaching the Bible and pastoring a flock. So anyway, that's all I got for tonight. And hopefully you learned something tonight. And that's 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this wonderful night. Pray that you bless each and every single person. Take us home safely, Lord, and help us to come back and be renewed on Sunday morning. I pray that you bless each and every single person in this church, Lord. Pray you just watch over our spiritual lives. Help me to be a good pastor, and I care about my people, Lord. And Lord, I just want them to know that I do care for them, and I pray that you'd just help me to be the best pastor I can be. And pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Song number 332. Channels only on that verse.
How I praise thee, precious Savior, that thy love laid hold of me. Thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me, that I might thy channel be. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. Empty that thou shouldest fill me, a clean vessel in thy hand, with no power but as thou givest, graciously with each command. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. Witnessing thy power to save me, setting free from self and sin, thou who boughtest to possess me, in thy fullness, Lord, come in. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. On that last. Jesus, fill now with thy Spirit hearts that full surrender know, that the streams of living water from our inner man may flow. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour.
I got one more thing to say real quick. We good?